Quick reminder, the legendary Bromosa, the tangerine IPA from Big Storm Brewery, is now in Publix. The Bromosa in Publix. Stock up for every Bucks game. Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman Podcast.
If you are in the market for a new vehicle, a pre-owned vehicle, your first stop has to be BillCurryFord.com. It is a tremendous operation 1 mile north of the stadium, the east side of Dale Mabry, where you will be greeted by General Manager Sean Sullivan, who will find a way, regardless of your financial situation, to satisfy your needs about a vehicle. He'll work with you, and you will be amazed at his flexibility. They've got a great inventory, and it'll be your first stop, and it will likely be your last stop in looking for a vehicle. BillCurryFord.com. Ryan is going to throw at least 40 passes on Sunday. At least 40, if not 50. And I want 4 sacks. Don't be afraid to think of grandeur. Is it about Ben Midler? Let's chill out on this organic nonsense. We are nearing the end of rainy season, and rainy season brings with it water damage. Sometimes it's a serious issue, many times it's not, but you have to get it checked out. It's going to weigh on your mind, so your first call has to be Florida's Elite Restoration. That's your first call, even before your call to your insurance people. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. For an honest assessment of your situation. Write it down, people. If you even think you might have a mold problem, even think it, you go to Florida's Elite Restoration for peace of mind.
Florida'sElitereStoration.com.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Here he is, the man of the hour, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast, presented by Bill Curry Ford. Man, Ira, we are fired up. It's been a while. I don't like these Thursday to Sunday game situations. You get too antsy, you know, after a whole year of waiting for football. But Sage, welcome. I know you made it back from the Rays game alive. Your wife was accosted, so you told us, but thankfully she's okay. And Ira, we got a lot to talk about in this episode. We just heard that great commercial from Bill Curry Ford, and you meant every damn word of it. You contact Sean Sullivan today, BillCurryFord.com. You can find his email, or you go right to the showroom a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. And do not forget that Ira Kaufman discount and that nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles, BillCurryFord.com. Ira, how are you?
Steve, speaking of Bill Curry Ford, you know, we're driving that cherry red Ford Escape, and it's caused a little rift between my wife and I, because, you know, technically it's supposed to be her car, and I say I'm going to the supermarket or something, and she says she's getting her nails done, and so I say I'm taking the Escape, and she gives me that look, Steve, just a look. She doesn't have to say anything, and that look means I'm not driving your car. I'm driving the Escape. So, Sean, you've caused a little problem inside the Kaufman family, but it's a good problem to have. Everybody wants to drive Bill Curry Ford vehicles, and go in there and ask for the Ira Kaufman discount, and you're going to be one satisfied customer.
The Buccaneers, 12.5-point favorite against the Falcons as it sits right now. We usually make our picks at the end. You know what, Ira? I want to hear it first, Ira. Everybody has a great feeling about this game for obvious reasons. Falcons got destroyed by Philadelphia, didn't look very good, and they probably want to run the ball, which is Arthur Smith's trademark, and the Bucs' run defense is spectacular, and of course, the Bucs can put up points like the best of them, as you wrote in your column. Give me a number, give me what we need to know about this game, and then we'll go around the horn.
I don't even hesitate. 38-17. 38-17. This offense has a chance to be historic, Steve. Brady feasts on Atlanta's defense. At least he has in the last six quarters. He's put up obscene numbers. The Eagles, Lee, are not exactly known for explosive offense. They just scored 32 in Atlanta. Now the Falcons are on the road. Lee, I'm getting a little feedback from some Buck fans, some that think I'm asking for too much, a 14-3 record. They might be one of the great offenses of the last quarter century. Lee, let me make this clear, Mr. DeKemper. After all these years of expectations where 8-8 would be a hell of a season for your Tampa Bay Bucks, those days are over, Lee. They're over. Tom Brady's here. Tom Brady's healthy. They got a good defense, although you wouldn't know it from week one, but it's good. What's wrong with saying that this should be one of the great offenses? Falcons can't play defense. This should be a rout, Lee. I don't have to apologize. Let's not get ahead of ourselves on any given Sunday. Lee, I don't want to hear any nonsense like that. There's no comparison between these two rosters. The Bucks are much better, and they should go out and squash them like a buck.
They should, and I agree with you, Ira. I don't know why people wouldn't get tight in the pants about this or not, but they should blow out the Falcons. Now, the only thing that concerns me is we know that teams that start out 0-2, there's like a 12% chance they'll make the playoffs. So an 0-1 team should be, unless they're tanking, they should be a wounded animal. They should be come out with everything they've got, because 0-2 to start the season, your season's pretty much over. So you've got to be coming out. Now, that percentage is a game because it's a 17-game season now, so you got a little bit of a extra breathing room to try to recover. But still, 0-2, that's pretty much a death knell in the NFL, and they should come out just, I mean, full force. And Matty Ice is still a good quarterback. But, man, they look awful against the Eagles. They really did. And yeah, if the Falcons are that bad defensively, and they are, and if the Bucks play the way they should, that scoreboard should be a pinball machine.
What's your score, Lee? What's your score?
If I had to put money on it, I'd take the Falcons and the points. Only because, and by the way, the point spread's 13 points. 31-20. Bucks.
Okay.
Yeah, of course, that spread's always moving as we're talking. I'm seeing 12.5, Lee, but hey, by the time somebody bets, it could be 13, 14. It came down a little bit, understandably so. I'm not sure if anything of that had to do with Jason Pierre-Paul, Ira, coming up with a hand injury on the injury report. You wonder if that affected him a little bit. And, you know, of course, the hand fighting at the offensive line and the defensive line, JPP is already down a couple of digits. I don't know, you know, how much problem or issue that may be, but that could be something if they don't think the pass rush is going to be there from the Bucs. And of course, while Bruce Arians wants the Falcons to run the ball, that may not happen. As we talked about last podcast, teams may start throwing and throwing and throwing until the Bucs show they can stop somebody. Jamel Dean is going to be starting, and you got a lot of time coming up for Ross Cockrell. Is he up for it at nickel? I don't know. But you know that with Kyle Pitts, they're going to be having Levante David or maybe a safety covering him, but they're going to try to exploit that, Ira. So I don't know. I'm curious, but of course I got to take the Bucks. I think they're going to be able to run up that number, maybe hit 33 this week. I'll go 33-24. So if I had to play with the points, I would go with Atlanta as well.
I would like to see a better effort from the pass rush. I think we will. Because, you know, Matt Ryan's fairly immobile. He likes the comfort of the pocket. This is a game, Lee, where Devin White could be a factor on as a blitzer. He could be. The JPP thing's a little worrisome. It means more snaps for Joe Tryon.
And I forgot to add, now we have the uncertainty of Carlton Davis and a hamstring injury that popped up late in the week.
I think Jack Barrett should come alive. This game, Atlanta's offensive line, there's nothing to write home about. Now look, Calvin Ridley's good, and he takes particularly delight, I think, in tormenting the Bucs. He had a huge game against Tampa at the end of the last season. I think he caught 10 balls. You know, he's the number one guy now without Julio Jones, and Pitts had a quiet week one, but, I mean, the guy's talented. There's no question about it. It could be a matchup problem for Tampa. But, Lee, the way to solve all that downfield is to pressure Ryan, which they did in the second half of the game last December. By the way, Lee, I'll say this. That first half in that first game against Atlanta, when the Bucs trailed 17-0 at intermission, I think that's the worst half the Bucks have played during the Bruce Arians era. I thought that was absolutely inexcusable. We were at Big Storm watching it. I can't remember if Steve was there that day. He might have been. You know, and I'm surrounded by all these Buck fans. We all looked at each other and said, did that just happen? Lee, I don't think they made a play in the first half of that game. They were one sorry bunch, and I don't want to see anything like that on Sunday.
Well, I read the video that I recorded, and the video is still up on Instagram. You referred to the Bucks' performance that first half, and I quote, a high school team.
I was thinking about Plant. I mean, it was really horrendously. I mean, they didn't do anything on either side of the ball. Ryan did anything he wanted, no pressure at all, you know, and Bowles made some adjustments, which I don't think he did enough of against the Cowboys. In the season opener, Brady went crazy in the second half, I think.
Yeah, look, it was a wild turnaround, and a lot of people, including Derek Brooks, said that was the key to the season right there, them just sort of flicking that switch that they had to do, and they never stopped from there. But I got a bone to pick with you, Ira. I'm sorry, I watched that Falcons game. Watched that Falcons-Eagles game, Ira. And, you know, the Falcons lost big, and they didn't run the ball in the fourth quarter. Maybe one little handoff, but they didn't run the ball in the fourth quarter. But before the game got out of hand, I'm going to read you this number, and I'm going to see if you want to change your tune, Mr. Kaufman. 24 rushing attempts by Atlanta, 24 rushing attempts for 116 yards. Now, I don't think that's a shabby offensive line, Ira. Bruce Arians himself says the Eagles have a good front. They do have some talent on their D-line. I don't know. You want to take that back, Ira?
Well, first of all, I'm not going to read too much on what Bruce Arians says about an upcoming opponent, nor Tom Brady. Lee, I just saw a video of Tom Brady talking up the Falcons as a very talented and physical defense. He must be talking about the 2016 Falcons. I don't know what the hell Brady's looking at. They got Grady Jarrett, who's a pretty good defensive lineman. Deion Jones, pretty good inside linebacker. Not as good as Devin White, but good. They don't have playmakers on defense.
No.
Now, Steve points out that they ran the ball pretty well for three quarters against the Eagles. Lee, let's say it up front. Nobody runs on the box. I mean, nobody. If your name's not Dalvin Cook. So, yeah, they'll try it a little bit in the first quarter to keep Brady off the field, but I'm not worried about the Buck rushing defense whatsoever, Lee.
Ira, you're reading my mind today. You're reading my mind. I love it. Here's something that Sarah Walsh said yesterday. Sarah Walsh, of course, local girl. She works for NFL Network now. This is what she said in a report she filed from One Buck yesterday. Now, I'm going to assume that Sarah Walsh, working for the NFL Network, has some damn good sources only because of the nature of her employer. No one has better sources than you, Ira, because I know who you talk to. But I'm going to guess her sources are fairly decent. This is how she opened her piece on NFL Network yesterday. There is no doubt there is concern about the secondary. To me, that's a pretty strong statement. What do you read out of that?
Well, I read that if the pass rush is not up to par, the Bucs are in trouble. And I'm not surprised at that, if that's what she was trying to say and imply. Lee, I've said it before, you could apply that to virtually all 32 NFL teams. Lee, that's the only way to play pass defense now. You've said it before. Every year they adopt some new rule that hurts the corners and the safeties in this league and helps the receivers. This league wants scoring. And what do they get? They're getting scoring. Record number of touchdowns in week one. You can't rely on shutdown corners anymore. If there ever was such a thing, and I think there was, the Deion Sanders and the Darrell Revises of the world, I think that's the thing of the past. You can't touch these guys past 5 yards. They're all over you for pass interference. So, concerns about the Bucs secondary? Yeah, when Dak Prescott throws 58 times and gets sacked once, that's a problem. Ryan is going to throw at least 40 passes on Sunday. At least 40, if not 50. And I want 4 sacks from the Bucs. I want 4. Last year, they averaged, I believe, 3. They had 48, I think, in 16 games. They've got some ground to cover. They're going to pick on Jamel Dean again. That's not going away. But the idea is force Ryan into throwing the ball from bad positions, and the Bucs will get some takeaways. And Derek Brooks made a big point this week, Lee. He's disappointed in the takeaways. He wants more, and so does Todd Bowles.
Sage, got to throw this at you. And, well, you know what? I'll save it because I know it'll spark the a debate between you and Lee that we've heard too many times already. So we'll save it save it toward the end. But, Ira, got to ask you this. Bruce Arians said about Joe Tryon and his performance, 21 snaps on special teams, 21 snaps on defense. He didn't gush about him in the same way that he usually does when he talks about him, but he told Sirius XM NFL Radio that Tryon is learning that, quote, backups from the preseason aren't the same guys that you see in the regular season. You know, pretty telling stuff there, that sort of acknowledging, hey, Tryon's got a lot to learn about the discipline of the game and the standard of the game that he's going to expect to see. You know, it wasn't the kind of thing that made you think they expect Tryon to go crazy out of the gate, but he liked him, and a big role on special teams, 21 snaps. That is a lot for rookie or for anybody else. But Arians also praised all his linebackers for being really, really strong on special teams, the other rookies, the late round picks. And so maybe he really did get what he wanted on special teams after that opening night of coverage.
Buck fans shouldn't take anything from what Arians just said about Tryon as a knock. Steve mentioned the word discipline. I think that's the key word. I think they're, you know, they're concerned if they overuse him in terms of gap integrity, Lee, as a rush defender. It's kind of ways to go there. Lee, remember, it might have been the first preseason game. Didn't Arians point out that Tryon was in the wrong spot, or maybe it was a practice or something? I can't remember it, but that he kind of cheated, Lee. He cheated a little bit on a run play, and he was out of his position. You know, that ain't going to go over very well with the Todd Bowles camp, you know, and Larry Foote and those guys. But you got to have 11 guys working together. But that's no knock on Joe Tryon. Lee, he's a rookie. Didn't even play in college last year. He'll come along fine. They're not going to overuse him. Now, he might get some extra snaps depending on JPP's availability. And by the way, Lee, speaking of JPP, isn't there a general consensus among the players and coaches that he was kind of the guy that led the rallying cry in that first Atlanta game at halftime? Like, hey, we got to get our heads out of our ass. Isn't that kind of everybody's pointing to JPP as the guy in that game?
Oh, very much so. Even Brady said it yesterday. It was JPP. Yeah, it wasn't Brady. That's the interesting thing. Everybody looks to Brady, and as they should. You know, he's the ultimate leader, and you know he's the face of all this stuff. But apparently, Brady was somewhat silent, furious, but he's rather silent in at halftime in the locker room of that. What turned out, or what began as a debacle, it was JPP was the guy that threw a fit, and it just, you know, the anger kind of, everybody fed off that anger that JPP displayed, the anger, the disgust, the frustration, and then they went out and they stomped the Falcons. By the way, the issue with Arians and Tryon?
Steve, one point I'd like to make, we've touched on it. I don't think we can emphasize it enough, and it's the way Antonio Brown's been playing, and this is not a one-game thing. I mean, he's got 7 touchdowns in his last 7 games as a Buccaneer. So this goes back a ways. Steve, we knew he looked good in training camp. Lee and I were out there, and we said, this guy, he's got a lot of spring in his legs. He's put in a full off-season workout. The guy looks phenomenal, and he's given Buck Nation a real look at the guy who I think was probably the best receiver in this league, Lee, over like a 5-year period. I mean, that's a long time in this league. He was the number one guy catching balls for Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh, which traditionally is a run-heavy offense. Lee, the guy looks sensational. Now, he's not going to do this every game, and Mike Evans is not going to have quiet nights for 17 games, but Lee, if this guy is going to play to this level, why can't this offense be historic?
I've been bellyaching about that for months. That's why I've been hollering for so long. You forget the short passes. Throw long. I mean, that's. And by the way, here's something I heard from Pat Kerwin, who we all respect very much on SiriusXM NFL Radio. He was talking about the Chiefs, and he said, and it was this week I heard him. He said, when are the Chiefs the most dangerous offensively? When are they most dangerous?
when they're behind.
When they're behind, and because that means 15 is dropping back with the ball in his hands. No question, that's the strength of their team. Balance is great if your team is balanced. Balance is great if you don't have a strength. If you got a strength, you don't use it. You know, you're setting yourself up to get beat. Use that strength. Lean on that strength. Fly on that strength.
And Steve, especially now with all four guys being healthy, Gronkowski and the three wideouts are healthy, and you're at maximum power right now, Steve.
Ira, got a question for you that's a little bit higher level. I don't know if you're ready for this, but are you ready?
Is it about Bette Midler?
It's definitely not about Bette Midler, Ira. I got a question for you. So, you know, obviously Bruce Arians wants to run the ball. That's his style. And Byron Leftwich was on Buccaneers Radio Network this week talking about balance is absolutely the plan, and that's the goal. And he talked about that. But I got to ask you this. The higher level question is the Falcons. If the Bucs have a lead here, if the Bucs, you know, get off to the start they want, is any aspect of this game for against the Falcons, is any aspect of this game trying hard to establish the run and sticking with the run as a way of sort of screwing up and maybe changing the way the Rams look at the Bucs the following week? And maybe altering their attack to play into the Bucs' hands, their defensive attack and approach, you know, other than if the Bucs just come out slinging the ball tomorrow or on Sunday and they're just, you know, throwing another 50 passes and they win 35-19 and they don't go to the run. Maybe that makes the Rams' defense in a way the Bucs don't want it to be. Is there any layer there?
It's an interesting way to look at it. And now, that would include the Bucs looking ahead to the Rams game, which, of course, if you mention that to Brady or Arians, they might throw a plate at you. No, you know, one game at a time. But
a plate of what? Plate of plate of ribs from Big Storm?
Of course. It's an interesting angle, Steve. I think more tangibly, a reason to run the ball more than 14 times, Lee, which was the fewest in the league in week one, in a game that was close all the way. It's not like the Bucs were down 17 points in the first half and abandon the run. It wasn't that. It was a conscious decision. Maybe build up a little confidence in Fournette and, more importantly, you know, Ronald Jones, who has already been declared the starter. And that tells you all you need to know about what Arians thinks of Ronald Jones' psyche at this point. Because you might need them later in the season. And, of course, Lee, if you're up 17 points in the fourth quarter, I mean, it kind of makes sense. You don't need Brady dropping back every play. I mean, you don't. You have to adjust to the game situation. So there are going to be times when the Bucs are going to need to run the ball to maintain possession with the lead with 5 minutes left in the game. And you want your runners to be well-conditioned and approach that with confidence. So, Lee, short answer, I'm expecting more than 14 rushing attempts against the Falcons. I don't think that's asking for too much. But, Lee, it's hard to argue against your main point. The strength of this offense, if not the strength of this entire franchise, is getting the balls into the hands of these unbelievable playmakers. And nobody can deny that, Lee.
It always brings me back to the famous Al Davis quote when I'm talking about the Bucs and their passing game. He said, in this league, everybody talks about take what the defense gives you. And that all sounds nice, but I believe in taking what you want.
The great quote, Lee. Fabulous quote. It's right up there with the within the first five plays, the quarterback must go down, and he must go down hard. I mean, that's classic Al Davis.
Ira, BigStormBrewery.com is the website. BigStormBrewery.com. That's where you can see all the great Big Storm beers, Florida's best craft beer, including their top seller, which is the Bromosa. And that is an award-winning beer now on a very, very high level. But there are so many greats. The Bromosa, the Tangerine IPA is not for everybody, and that's just fine. There's a beer for everyone with Big Storm. Punch in your zip code at BigStormBrewery.com. That's where you can find the beer. And Ira Kaufman himself, the Sage, will be at Big Storm Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road. He will be watching Bucks road games there with fans, starting with the Rams game that we just mentioned. That's a week from Sunday. Big storm. You'll see a lot about that on joebucksfan.com. The Sage is fired up. And Ira, I've got a column idea for you. Very simple, Ira. Very simple. I think you could kill a couple of birds with one stone here. You call the Rams. You say, I'm Ira Kaufman. I'd want to talk to Raheem Morris, the defensive coordinator. Raheem knows me. And you can get his perspective on what looks like the end of Gerald McCoy's career. And with him getting injured last week against the Raiders, with the Raiders, blowing his knee out. And of course, he could talk to you about this game here and what he sees and Arians and Leftwich and all that thing. I think it's time, Ira. It's time.
Steve, not a bad suggestion at all. And I might ask Raheem if he's ever going to get a chance to run the show again. He's probably thinking at this point, it's a long shot. But I know he wants a second chance. And, you know, to be the defensive coordinator of the Rams, that's a pretty nice spot. I mean, you get the boss Aaron Donald and Ramsey around. That's not too shabby, Lee.
Well, and look where you're living, too. It's not like you're, it's not like you're living in Detroit. And speaking of Detroit and northern locales, a guy you know, Ira, with Bucks connections, is getting killed up in Wisconsin. Joe Barry. And he, obviously, Joe Barry was the linebackers coach for the glorious Bucks defense of the, late 90s and early aughts. And it seems like his record as a defensive coordinator, pretty brutal. Linebackers, he's had some good success, obviously. But defensive coordinator, he's really, really bad. Is he over his head again?
It looks like he is. He's not coaching Derek Brooks anymore, Lee. You know what I mean? And Chelvin Morrow was a pretty darn good middle linebacker as well. He followed his father-in-law, Rod Marinelli, to Detroit. That was a debacle. He's bounced around in a couple other spots. And that certainly was not much of an effort in week one by his defense. So, Lee, you're not off base. He's got a lot to prove as a defensive coordinator. Yet, he keeps finding jobs. Another guy is Gus Bradley, Lee, who I think he's had more success than Joe Barry has as a defensive coordinator. And Lee, your man Lovie Smith is off to a sizzling start in Houston.
Let's not get carried away here.
Lots of former Bucks assistant coaches out there, for sure. Yeah, and Ira, if you do talk to Raheem, don't tell him you think he thinks that his head coaching days are numbered. The guy's 45 years old, and the best young football coach in the NFL chose him as his defensive coordinator. I mean, that puts him at near the top of the list, just that Sean McVay endorsement alone. McVay has won more than 2/3 of his games, and he's been to the Super Bowl. He's 35 years old, Ira. Come on.
And it's not a stretch to consider the Rams the number one challenge for the Bucks in the NFC. I think that's a fair statement. The Rams.
Yeah, it's going to be a hell of a game a week from this week, but we're not looking past the Falcons. The Rams are already a 1.5-point favorite. So the Bucks, I think, entered the season as a favorite in every game, or maybe just they weren't a favorite against the Rams. But either way, now they the Rams are the favorites there.
You already got the week 3 odds out. It's unbelievable.
You got to pay attention to these things. That's how you get some value, Ira. That's how you find the value.
Steve, won't that change based on Sunday's results? Won't it?
All that matters is when you put your money in, Ira. That's what matters. So nice. Anyway, Ira, look, Sunday's game with the Bucks on offense. Do you expect anybody to stand out? Do you expect there to be any kind of focus? Now, the Bucks are always saying, Organic, Leftwich wants organic. We can't focus on throwing to one guy because we got so many guys. And Brady even said in past years, I have to force the ball to players, and that's no way to play football. But since I've joined the Bucks, it doesn't work that way. We just throw to the open man and move the ball. But we do know the reality is they want to get Mike Evans those 1,000 yards, and they like to get players involved so they're ready when you need them. Do you think we see a couple of deep shots to Scotty Miller this week? Do you think we see them move Mike Evans around to try to get him, make sure he gets 8 catches for whatever that equals? Or do you think they stick with this organic line? Or do you think the organic stuff is even real?
Let's chill out on this organic nonsense. Let's take it easy. You know what organic means? Mike Evans needs some football Sunday early. I wouldn't be surprised if the first couple of plays are passes to Evans. organic means Rojo needs to get his confidence back. Let's give him 14 carries against the Falcons and see if we can get 72 yards from Rojo, including the touchdown, and get him going heading into play the Rams. You don't want to throw 50 passes against Aaron Donald and company, Lee, if you can help it. So I'm with Steve. This organic thing sounds good, but we know how Arians is attuned to his players, and he just proved it again with naming Rojo's starter. That's very atypical of Arians. He doesn't do that very often. And Lee, look at it this way. You know, the common wisdom is, well, Mike Evans is the guy that defense is key on. He's never in single coverage. They're always rolling the coverage to him. Lee, if I'm watching the tape of Antonio Brown last week, or maybe even more than just last week, I can't put all my focus on Mike Evans. So I think the emergence of Brown, the resurrection of Brown to his peak form, I think that's going to open up a ton of things for Mike Evans going forward.
Not only do I totally agree, we're forgetting about Chris Godwin as well, who's he did a number on the Cowboys also. Like you said, if you're the Falcons and you see Antonio Brown going crazy, you see Chris Godwin gouging the Cowboys, and he had one ugly drop. Forget the fumble. He had one ugly drop that would have really gouged the Cowboys' defense. You're like, well, you know, it's kind of a pick your poison, but you can't be focusing that much on Evans when Godwin and Brown are hammering your defense.
It's going to be very interesting, Ira. I love to see how the Bucs approach this, because you have to take a one game at a time mentality, but you also have to have that bigger picture view. That's what the great coaches do on the things you're talking about, which is getting other players involved and working on some things as the season goes along. Leftwich spoke this week on a radio show about how, you know, last year they were doing a lot of that, basically, you know, working on things in the season because they really didn't know what was going to work or not. He said it's nice to put things on paper, but until you actually run it and you see how Brady's instincts kick in within the play, you don't really know. So one thing I'm looking for, Ira, I'll go on the record here, if you will, on the Sages podcast. Oh, first, Ira, I got to drop some news. First, the Scuttlebucks podcast, which fans have enjoyed at joebucksfan.com and various platforms over the years, that returns next week. Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang up in Tallahassee, they're going to be changing things up this week. They're going to do a quick little, a reaction podcast followed by a very late in the week little preview. So it'll be a double shot of the Scuttlebucks and my favorite podcast, which is coming up brand new. It's our man Sean Sullivan, a Bill Curry Ford, with the Best in Class podcast, Ira, a unique situation where Sean, the draft guru who he is going to be looking at first and second year players' draft picks and how they're performing and adjusting in the league, around the league. You know, sort of what everybody after the draft gurus sort of abandon these players and never talk about them again or see how their picks and their flow went. But Sean's going to dive into that each week in sort of a fast-moving little look around the league on some key draft picks he wants to focus on. So how about that?
You trying to dominate the podcast market nationally, Steve? Is that your intention?
Absolutely not, Ira. Absolutely not. It's all about the millions who come to joebucksfan.com and read everything. That's what it's all about. But hey, people listen to you, Ira. They love you. They love you. And we appreciate everyone subscribing. Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Play, of course. Rock Riley's got his Bucks Kickoff podcast. Rondé Barber, special guest this week. I find it interesting, Ira, that Rock Riley has Rondé Barber on his podcast, but that's been 5+ years and he hasn't been on this podcast. I think you're ashamed of us, Ira.
Well, Rondé shouldn't distance himself from me because in about 3 or 4 months, I'll be making another impassioned plea to get Rondé a gold jacket. Shame on these voters if they don't take Rondé Barber more seriously as a Hall of Fame candidate. And I have the assurances of one Derek Brooks that he is going to work his buns off, and Brooks can be very persuasive in terms of trying to twist some arms in that room, some key arms, because there are some former players now that have votes. And Brooks knows. Brooks has a Rolodex. So he's got every player's number. Like, I mean, it's unbelievable.
You know what? I'm going to smack Brooks around a little bit. You know what? If he's so influential, he should have gotten Lynch in earlier. I'm not buying how good these guys are with their sales pitches after this John Lynch nonsense. I want Rondé Barber out there front and center. The guy hasn't even been on his brother's national radio show in months. Months. They had to bring in Martin Gramatica as the Bucks expert on the preview show for the Bucks. Get out there, Rondé. Stop hiding. Stop playing golf. And start working it. It's a political process. Wake up and make it happen.
I want your reaction to this.
Yeah.
Shucky, Monday night. Great win. Fun game. Crazy game. He comes out and he says about Waller, he's the best player I ever coached.
I know Shucky's known for hyperbole. We all know that. And in the heat of the moment. And Waller's a heck of a player. I mean, is he better than Kelsey? Maybe, maybe not. But he's in the conversation. I mean, he's outstanding. And what a matchup nightmare he is with his size and quickness. But that's a heck of a statement, Lee. I mean, he coached Charles Woodson. He coached Tim Brown. He coached Derek Brooks, Warren Sapp, Rondé Barber, John Lynch. That's a heck of a statement, Lee. I'm not willing to go there, but I'll cut him some slack, Lee. It was the heat of the moment of a great win, and Waller played a big role in it. And he's a heck of a player, but, you know, he coached Derek Brooks when he was Defensive Player of the Year in 2002. You can't play any better than Derek Brooks did that year. So, you know, I'm not going to pick on Chucky, but it's classic hyperbole, Steve. I'm not buying that.
Yeah. Lest people forget, Ira. Lest people forget. There was some guy that Chucky coached in Oakland. Some guy named Jerry Rice.
Yes. Yes. he was toward the end of his career, Lee.
That's true. Rice is like top five player of all time.
Yeah, Jerry Rice. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, I believe everyone would remember he also coached Brett Favre as well. So there's a long list going even deeper than that. It was a lot of fun there from Chucky. He's feeling it after one win, and it was a great win. What I was going to say is, Ira, last year, something to look for in this game, the Bucks ran a ton of what they called heavy sets late in the season. It was part of what worked for them. They brought in Josh Wells as the sixth lineman, and he played a lot of snaps, and he did not play. He didn't come in any of these heavy sets. No extra linemen on Thursday night against the Cowboys. So I think they're going to go back to that. That's how they were pounding the ball when they were doing it late in the season. So I'm going to predict a lot of time for that guy, especially as O.J. Howard still recovers. We know Cam Brait can't block. I think we're going to see more of that stuff, even though Lee wants to see him slinging it around, which I want to as well. But I think we'll see more of that.
Well, Steve, just like you like to jump on some of my statements and make me out the fool, Lee, I'm gonna take this opportunity to slap Isbitz around a little bit. I think that's nonsensical for a couple of reasons. One, Lee, I don't think Byron Leftwich is going into this game scared stiff about Atlanta's pass rush. You know, Tom Brady did not hit the ground, basically, throwing 50 passes against Dallas. Now, well, you know, the Cowboys' defense is not the Rams either. I understand. But, I don't think they're worried about protection for Brady vis-a-vis Josh Wells as an extra body to block. This is a game where I think, you know, you spread it out and make, you know, Atlanta might have one good corner. They certainly don't have three or four. And you exploit them downfield. Brady's got time to survey. Game like this, you carve them up.
Well, I'll tell you this. You brought up the offensive line of the Bucks, and I have to give them a standing ovation. I have to give them major props. This is comical what I'm about to say, but this is just habitual NFL fans. Not Bucks fans, NFL fans. I've heard Phil Simms say that he always listened to sports radio when he was working, you know, with Jim Nance, and he'd be on the road every week. And he always made a point to listen to local sports radio the next morning after the game, try to get a pulse of the fans. He said it never failed. No matter what city, no matter the result of the game, the fans were calling up sports radio complaining about the offensive line. There was a gentleman, and we love the comments on JoeBucksFan.com. Ira, there was even a comment about you this morning. There was a reference about the Smothers Brothers. That's how far back in the Wayback Machine is. Anyway, there's a fan, a Bucks fan. We love the comments. He tried to claim that Tristan Wirfs, quote-unquote, got beat six times Monday night. I'll have people know that the Bucks gave up two quarterback hits. Count them. 1-2. And the guys they were going up against, DeMarcus Lawrence, Randy Gregory, pretty darn good edge rushers. Matter of fact, isn't DeMarcus Lawrence pulling in $20 million a year? That's how good he is. Two quarterback hits the whole night. And how many times did Prescott go back to pass? What'd you say? 50 times? Two times Brady got touched. Twice. And so props to the offensive line. Way to go. You gave the star of the NFL time to throw. You gave Brady time to throw. Good things are going to happen for this game.
Well said, Lee. Steve, I will add this. I watched Wirfs, and Steve, you watched the film five times. He didn't have his best game. He wasn't bad, but he didn't play to the level he did as a rookie. He'll bounce back probably in week two, but I thought he had a so-so game, Steve.
It wasn't the greatest, but I mean the reality is still the reality. Brady
got the job done.
Yeah, he got the job done. Especially when you look at all the passing attempts, one mistake gets magnified a little bit. But when you have 50 pass attempts, it's a little different than a 32 passing game, 32 attempts game. So, I certainly have no problem with Wirfs, and if he can keep doing that all season, they'll be just fine. Ira, we got to thank our friends at Bill Curry Ford. No joke, Bill Curry Ford. Call them first. Get to BillCurryFord.com first. GM Sean Sullivan is not just your draft guru. He's your personal friend in the automotive business. Whatever you need, he will help you. It's just that simple. Guidance, money, whatever it is, just call Sean. He'll hook you up. And as we heard, Florida's Elite Restoration, that's the first phone call anytime you have a disaster in your home. Florida's Elite Restoration. You got an exhaust fan fire that you had an issue with. You've got water. You've got mold. You come home from the Bucks game, and all of a sudden, there's a pile of water coming out the back of your dishwasher for some reason. Call them first before you get into a mess with your insurance company. They'll guide you. They'll give you a free assessment. And Florida's best craft beer is Big Storm Beer. Ira, I had a very solid week gambling last week, but I punched the wall. I was so mad because I had put a bunch of money on, and I won overall, but I put a bunch of money on Jameis Winston throwing one interception. The over-under was half a pick. And I'm sitting there.
I know where you're going.
I'm sitting there watching that game with my wife, and we're just rooting for Jameis to throw one pick. He throws a pick. And they call it back with a terrible late hit on the quarterback call or illegal hit. It was just ridiculous. And so, okay, that happens. Live and learn. They only threw the ball 20 times, et cetera, et cetera. But here I am. I'm back this week. Jameis Winston over under half an interception again against the Panthers and their big pass rush. I think they had six sacks last week. A lot of young talent on that defense. Do I let it ride? Do I just make only one bet this week, Jameis to throw an interception?
I think you absolutely let it ride. I can't believe the number is a half rather than one. Lee, that means if he throws one interception, his bitch wins the bet. They're not going to dominate from the start every week like they did against Green Bay. Lee, they played a perfect game, the Saints. I mean, they did. And they made the Packers look like the Detroit Lions. That's not going to happen every week. Carolina is an average team. Lee, they're not horrible. I think they're better than Atlanta. I think they're an average team, maybe an 8-win team. And I certainly think if Winston throws 30 passes instead of 20, and some of them with some urgency, maybe they're behind at some point, he will throw at least one pick. So let it ride, Isbits. Let it ride.
All right, Sage, you got a final word for the fans? Otherwise, we are out of here, and we will be back next week with, of course, two scintillating episodes.
My final word heading into week two against Atlanta, to Buck Nation. Lee, think big. Don't be afraid to think of grandeur. You got the defending Super Bowl champs. People are healthy. Brady is looking like he's 30. Antonio Brown looks like he's 25, according to his own coach. Think big, and by that I mean big win against Atlanta. I don't mean 31-29. Run them out of town.